When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Sorry. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for the Wrestling Inc. AEW Dynamite after show, and have we got a show for you. Daniel Garcia and MJF get personal. Mariah May defends her title, and Adam Page burned down a house. Before we get into all that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by Edge, Adam Copeland, and Flobo Boyce. Flobo, how are you today?
Well, I was doing great until I saw that Edge had a book that had a play on words. You know how much I love that. Day five in a row for Wrestling Inc., man. The Iron Man cometh.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't have a deeper roster here at Wrestling Inc.
Ow, right in the feelings.
Well, we got a lot of folks who joined us every single day, and as always, we appreciate y'all. But behind that book is nerdy George Hermosa, always reading. You know, us jocks, we don't like the nerds reading.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
How's everyone?
Oh, ask Jericho.
Okay. How are you, George?
I'm doing good. I woke up today. Watch a little Draped in Gold earlier today, you know. Had a nice little interaction with the hosts, and then started reading my book, and then I watched some Dynamite, and now I'm here. So all in all, it's been a fantastic day.
Cool. I hear those folks over on Draped in Gold really have their heads screwed on tight, know what they're doing.
Yeah.
We got a lot of stuff to get to, and we got a very active chat today. One of the better chats we've had going in a while. I want to thank everyone for being here. As always, we'll get to the shout outs later. I make you wait for it. I don't give the shout outs right away. But we got some news coming up here, and geez, so many people.
We're not dancing. I don't know what Danny's talking about.
Yeah, you got it. It's well, yeah, because I got the Daniel Garcia. And George does the CEO. So, Flobo, you got to do...
I will sign off. I swear to God, do not make me dance in this show.
We need you to dance, Flobo.
We don't need that at all. Nope.
Do the Willow Nightingale.
Hey, you know what I say my name in Spanish is? No tiene ritmo. I'm good. I'm going to dance.
Yeah, why don't you do the Willow Nightingale dance?
We have a whole show to get into, guys. Don't worry about it.
Oh, we got time.
Yeah, we got time. Back to hour three of Dynamite Review.
Everyone in the chat, why don't you just let us know what dance you want to see Flobo do, and we'll just kind of hang out until he gets there.
Nope, that's fine.
Boo.
We got the Carlton dance from Stephen Camp.
Stephen Camp's a heel.
Who bought the fun vacuum?
Yeah,
he just sucks all the fun out of everything.
I'm also a heat vacuum too.
Dylan Matthews is going to make sure that on Twitter, if you follow Dylan Matthews, the GIF King, you will see Flobo dancing whether he likes it or not.
Let's put Flobo's head on the Alex Wright dance. Let's make that happen.
Oh, that's a classic. Wow, that'd be an honor.
Well, let's see you do it, Flobo.
I'm fine.
Oh, fun. By the way, speaking of fun, Wayne, where are Issa and Alfred? if you haven't caught on yet, you're not a fan of the show. I'm so sick of this, you guys. I'm so sick of people who ask where people are, who haven't been on in months. And if you followed them on Twitter, you'd know where they are and you know what they're doing. I don't believe your fake fandom, Wayne.
Yeah. Is that
leave Wayne alone. Maybe he's been living under a rock recently, and now he escaped that rock and he's back to his Wrestling Inc. roots.
If that's the first question you're asking after escaping a rock, you have problems. Where's Alfred?
Do not talk about Wayne like that. We are in Wayne's world, so now it is party time. Let's have an excellent show.
On site. That's not on site, Wayne. I'm just, come on. What do you? You know they've been gone for months. You know they've doing their own thing. I don't think Alfred's been here for a year,
right?
Are we gonna ask where Matt Morgan is next? I mean, where
is Matt Morgan? I missed him. He's cool.
You guys got Matt Morgan?
He's like 5 years ago.
Did Matt Morgan finally get over the stuttering thing?
Yeah.
This says, in case you didn't know, Wrestling Inc. is on fire right now.
Fire right now.
Mr. Estos, you are right.
Everyone's asking where's Raj? Where's Matt Morgan? They're with the other guys now. I will say, you know, you ask about Jimmy and Justin, they're on vacation. Well, yes. Justin's not on Wednesdays, but Jimmy's on vacation, enjoying some time off, much deserved. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about some news. We got some news here. And it's no fun. I'm trying to avoid talking about it. That's why I'm doing everything else, because it's about people getting sued, and no one likes getting sued. But the Tate twins and Kevin Kelly are doing some suing. So that's what
doing some suing. I'm sorry. It's a serious thing, but okay.
There goes my opportunity to be a
doing some suing.
Yes, I'm a fancy city lawyer, but it sounds like someone's doing some suing around here. PW Insider reports that AEW owner Tony Khan and AEW Ring of Honor announcer Ian Riccaboni are being sued by former AEW announcer Kevin Kelly and Brandon and Brent Tate, who worked in Ring of Honor as the boys. The lawsuit was filed in Philadelphia County, Pennsylvania Court of Common Pleas this past Friday. The 41-page lawsuit, which I will read in full here. No, I'm just joking.
Oh, my God.
alleges that the Tates were defamed by Khan after they were released from AEW this past March, when Khan claimed publicly that the Tates no-showed events. The brothers disputed this at the time and have done so again, claiming they are owed travel money, royalties, and reimbursements, and suggest that Khan's remarks have led to them not working since leaving AEW, with promotions subsequently viewing them as untrustworthy. Meanwhile, Kelly alleges he was defamed by AEW and AEW's Riccaboni after the latter made comments on a Discord server regarding Kelly's support of the film The Sound of Freedom, with Riccaboni referring to the film as a QAnon movie. Kelly denies having any association with the QAnon movement and claims that he reached out to Riccaboni to resolve the matter, and Riccaboni never responded. Kelly further alleges AEW told him they disciplined Riccaboni, though never revealed how they did so, and states he subsequently suffered mental health and marital issues as a result. After not being booked for AEW Revolution this past March, AEW claims he reached out to AEW regarding treatment, as he had done earlier. He alleges he never got a response prior to being released from AEW in April. With the Tates, Kelly is also seeking money owed in royalties and reimbursement for travel. Both sides are seeking a class action lawsuit, stating they are misidentified as independent contractors. As of this writing, neither Khan, Riccaboni, or AEW have responded to the suit, and it appears that they have yet to be served. A case management hearing regarding the lawsuit is currently scheduled for November 15th. Lots of stuff. Flobo, I am not a lawyer. So I'm not going to get into whether or not there's merit to this or not. I don't know. I have no idea. But it does sort of show why WWE historically has always just said, we wish you the best of luck in your future endeavors.
Right. Well, I wasn't paying attention, so can you repeat that? No, I totally was. No. Yeah.
PW Insider Report.
I thought I was the only one.
Yeah. No, I totally understand, man. Like, it is very messy. This one here does sound like there's multiple layers to it. And I know that a lot of times companies are pretty much are at the will of what people feel are damages. And those are kind of hard to ascertain on the surface. But you're absolutely right. That's why when you have a relationship in an at-will state, you just kind of say, peace out, and try to make it as clean as possible. Also, you want to have arbitration in those contracts so nobody can sue you, but apparently that's not the case here.
George, the thing that stands out the most to me, again, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know if they have they may be absolutely correct. They may be totally wrong. I don't know. But the thing that stands out to me, the biggest piece, was that it said at the end there, I know a lot of you were probably glazing over as I was getting through all that print there. By the way, Wrestling Inc., I don't mean to throw you under the bus. You guys need to do some proofreading because there are some errors in this that I had to fight through.
Well, Jack's not going to be back next week.
Who wrote it? Don't be talking about John Jordan. I'm like, okay, it was someone else. Cool. Okay.
A lot of stuff in there I had to jump over to make sure it worked. But that said, the biggest thing
this dragon attire.
There is not a bus I won't throw someone under to protect myself.
That is so true. And you say it up front, but you still do it. It's hilarious.
But what I'm trying to say, George, is this part where they say they were misidentified as independent contractors. Now, I don't know. I don't know. The only other thing I can think of is that means you're an employee. If they're suing to say they are an employee and they win, I feel like that could set a massive precedent for the entire wrestling industry going forward. Again, maybe I'm totally off. I'm not a legal person, but that to me seems like that could be the biggest piece of this whole thing.
Also, too, like, what exactly are they asking for? They're filing suit, so clearly they're just looking for money. This is nothing that anybody's going to go to jail for. This is just seems like it's a purely monetary thing. Who knows? Depending on how much money they're suing for, Tony Khan's a billionaire. Maybe he just, you know what? This is going to. I just want this to go away. Or if they can go the completely other route, where Tony Khan's a billionaire, so he can clearly pay people to make things stick around to the point where maybe they'll drop the suit. I doubt that Kevin Kelly or the Tate twins have money to kind of keep this going for months and months and years and years, because that can get pretty expensive with legal fees. But yeah, I'm mostly curious about maybe how much they're suing for. Maybe just want back pay, or maybe possible, like somebody mentioned, like severance on possibly, you know, maybe there were promises that were being made. But yeah, I think honestly, everything's a mess. There's so much he said, she said, or in this case, he said situations where, like, what are we doing here? Because, like, yeah, good luck to everybody involved, to all the parties involved, and hopefully people get what they ask for.
Yeah. It sounds like you know a little bit about the law, George, the way you said that this is just for money based off of them going to case management. I don't know anything about that. Is that typically the case?
Most likely. I mean, I watch a lot of Few Good Men. That's a great movie.
It's only one movie. You watch a lot of it. It's one movie. Okay.
This is our legal analyst. Our legal analyst has watched A Few Good Men. Yeah. That is just crazy.
I know, just because even like going through what I'm going through now, it was like a car accident stuff and whatnot, and just a lot of like, well, we don't want to have to take it to trial. So it just does seem like, depending on the situation, like, what's the next step on what they want to do? Do they want it to go to litigation? Do they not? Like, are they trying to get in front of a jury? Are they just trying to look for a payout? So who knows exactly what they're looking for? Clearly, whether Kevin Kelly or the Tate twins have every right to do so, maybe they just want a payday. Who knows? Like I said, only they have that answer. But like I said, whether it's AEW, whether it's the other party, like I said, whatever it is that they're hoping to get, hopefully everybody's happy.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, Dylan's saying George has at least watched 3/4 of A Few Good Men. So he knows his legal-ish, which I think That works for me.
Which is funny because like there's no lawsuit involved. It's all anybody who's seen the movie, there is no lawsuit when it comes to that.
I've seen a lot of impressions of that one court scene, so I think I know.
That's even worse.
In any case, if someone was done wrong, I hope they get their money back. Yeah. At this point, let the courts decide. But hopefully, if they were done wrong, I hope they get their money.
I mean, everybody's always the hero in their own story. So clearly, nobody's gonna feel like they were doing the wrong. But it's clearly enough to have to pay a lawyer and proceed with that aspect of it. So, you know, that says something.
Well, Dylan says he's seen one episode of Suits, so he also knows the legal system. Bobo, I think, has been harassed enough about his dancing skills. So, in any case, I do want to say Mike Martin is saying that people also sue for principal. Mike Martin in the chat, which is also true. I've watched a lot of daytime court TV, Judge Judy, People's Court. I'm more of a People's Court person myself. Judge Milan was always my favorite, but let's get into the next story before Flobo gets back. Overseas theft of the AEW star MJF's Dynamite Diamond Ring. Not a storyline. Speaking to the Brian and Vinny and Lisa show, Brian Alvarez stated that the ring vanished and was most likely stolen. The podcast noted that it happened in London, England. George, I would not want to have to go back to my boss and say, I lost a diamond ring.
I really wish there was more context to this story because it's like, oh, by the way, the diamond ring was lost. We don't know how. We don't know when. Because I'm really curious, like, if you take a ring overseas, right? Like, at what point is it not on your hand or is it not in your pocket? So I'm curious, did it get stolen out of the hotel room? Did it get stolen out of the locker room? Did he leave it like at some British restaurant? I wish there was a little bit more context. Because other than that, like, there's really not much I can speculate about. I mean, by all know, maybe it really was Daniel Garcia that stole it and pawned it for his to pay for his flight to the UK, which makes no sense because he lost it in the UK, which means he still had to pay for his flight to the UK. But you would think that wouldn't Tony Khan pay for his flight because he's an AEW star or whatever. But yeah, I really wish there was a little bit more to the story in terms of how or when did it happen.
Yeah, Flobo. MJF's diamond ring went missing, says it was stolen. I kind of feel like I don't know why we found out about this. They added to the story. I don't know. I would not want to tell my boss that they bought a giant diamond ring and I lost it.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's always kind of a sad email to write because I wouldn't go face to face, but it's kind of dangerous out there. You know what I mean? And in general, you know, we gotta make sure you have your valuables secured. Poor guy.
Those UK streets are, you know.
I try to avoid conflict, so I probably just quit my job.
Oh wow!
And then never mention it.
Well, you know, I thought about that when Gunther lost the NXT UK title, and I was like, "You lost the title. You will never work in this town again." And he worked out okay.
Well, Jericho
too.
Yeah. Jericho won.
Now that I think about it, fun fact: Jericho 1, Jericho 2, EC3. That's how it goes. So yeah, hopefully whoever has it, you know what the bummer is though? It's kind of like whenever you steal very famous art, as you guys know, you can't sell it because everyone knows it's stolen. Like, what do you do with this diamond ring if you stole it? Everyone knows, like, oh, that's the stolen diamond ring from AEW.
Oh, there's places you can go.
George?
I'm not gonna say it out loud.
I'm not asking.
I'll tell you where.
Okay, thanks, man.
George, Flobo's not in the Guild of International Jewel Thieves. We can't tell him this.
Or art thieves, apparently.
Art thieves. Yeah, I dabble in the art more so than the jewelry. You don't get to hang from the ceiling with lasers everywhere and cut through little glass things art like you do with jewels.
Like what got stolen? Oh, something like my car got broken into like a few months ago, and they stole a bunch of Frisbees. You know,
just
Frisbees.
It?
Yeah.
Just the Frisbees?
That's just Frisbees. I mean, it was a backpack, so they were like probably intrigued by the backpack, but it just has Frisbees inside. I'm like, what are you guys going to do with Frisbees?
Throw them, I'd assume.
Yeah. I mean, duh. What a stupid question.
I mean, they're not your traditional frisbee. They're like for like disc golf.
Oh, there you go. That's the reason. It's a high grade equipment, my friend.
They're like $20 each.
All right, I quit.
How many?
Like six.
That adds up.
It adds up because I had to rebuy them. $120.
$120. I mean, hard times. But speaking of hard times, we are going to be covering AEW All Out this weekend. Myself and Emily May covering the big show. It's going to be a very fun show. So if you watch All Out, and even if you're All Out, or even if you don't watch All Out, tune in, watch us. We'll be chatting all about it. I worked with Emily May many times before. However, this will be our first time on Wrestling Inc. Let's see if the chemistry is still there. You got to tune in to find out. We're going to be giving our predictions on All Out at the end of this very episode.
We are?
Make sure we are.
Okay. I wasn't informed.
Why are you shocked?
Can I be shocked in the show? Can I?
It was email.
It was in the email.
What email?
The email that you... Oh, my Jesus Christ.
You mean the one with the legal dossier that I totally ignored that Jack was reading off of? That email?
This is why you're booked on every show. Because you don't
what is he doing here?
You don't see the note that says you're not booked.
Right.
You're like the guy from Office Space that just keeps showing up. Yeah, that's happening this weekend. Now let's talk about this show. As always, thank you to everyone who is with us in the chat. Danny Cochran, Blue Chew, Stephen Camp, Rick Plott, Fernando, did I say Dylan already? We got Sherrod. We've got Ben Espinosa. We got Peter P. We got Joe C. There's too many of you guys. Come on. Mike Martin and Wayne, I'm going to give a shout out to. Wayne, I'm so glad you're here. Didn't mean to snap on you earlier. Totally but everyone,
yes,
please... like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star review on Apple with a little comment while you're there as well. Say, I really enjoyed listening to Jack Farmer, Flobo Boyce, and George Hermosa on the AEW podcast. It was very fun. Yes.
It's going to be verbatim that. I'm going to say yes.
Yes. It's going to end. Yes. Yes. Yes, period. Right. Not even an emphatic yes, just yes.
Yes.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farmer with the Wrestling Inc. podcast, and a few years back, WWE sold a New Day-themed kit where people could make unicorn horn-shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles, even without the kit, and get top-tier hydration in the process. In these post-SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
AEW Dynamite went down today in, it was Chicago, yeah?
Milwaukee.
Chicago.
Milwaukee.
An hour and a half north.
If you guess where a AEW show is, if you say Chicago, I think you've got like a 35% chance you're right.
Yeah.
Dylan Matthews says, Jack putting Flobo's name over not last is a vast improvement.
It's probably
Flobo.
An email. This week, you have to.
Daniel Garcia says that he doesn't want to wait for All Out, but MJF says he doesn't want to ruin their All Out match by beating him up now. Garcia calls MJF fake, including his love for AEW. Eventually, Daniel Garcia fights through MJF security, but gets hit in the head with a bottle before he can get his hands on MJF. George, I loved this segment. I loved the put-downs. I loved the promos. I loved the emotion. I loved the action, the fight sequence getting there. I love this. I thought this was a fantastic opener.
Jack Farmer, you stole the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, this was fantastic in every single way. It's kind of intriguing now that they're kind of emphasizing a little more story nowadays. I don't know if that's because of someone maybe pushing for more stories in AEW, because the show started with a segment and it ended with a segment. This was great. This was I like these kind of feuds where why wait to the pay-per-view, right? Like, why do you want to wait for Saturday to get your hands on somebody? And I get it. You know, he was up there. Garcia was down there. But it was to the point where, you know what, like, let me at least try to prevent myself from going over. And then he just couldn't, because MJF hit all the right buttons. Don't talk about a guy's mama. Although my only question is, like, I think they did a pretty good job with the MJF's hair. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, maybe I need to cancel my trip to Turkey. From the beginning, middle, to all the way to the end, when he cracked him in the head with a bottle and he kissed the wound with the blood. Like, my God, what a visual.
I would have loved if MJF said, hey, they did a really good job in Turkey. But Flobo, this had action movie vibes to me. The everyday kid in the ring talking to the guy in the suit sat up in the box with his bodyguards that he had to get fought through to get there. This was fun. I enjoyed it. What were your thoughts?
This is an action movie for Tubi. No, look, I'm not trying to be the one to start the pot here. I understand the A and B and how I got to it, but I was not impressed. I felt like Garcia came out with the cliche, they say patience is a virtue. Who's they? And then we had the...
Everyone.
Everyone does say that.
Hey, you want me to talk or cut me off? I'm just saying. Let me know.
Well, apparently,
we had the interaction we saw many times before. Okay, the hair thing popped me because I was a bald American. I loved it. And then Daniel Garcia goes down like a ton of bricks. Super easy. And then, of course, you got MJF giving me the most cheesiest lines of the night. So I like the idea that we had this segment. I like the idea it's story-based, but the actual exchange was kind of cheesy. That's all.
First off, he goes down. He fought through like six people to get there in the crowd, which was awesome to see. And also, the put downs, no one's ever sent put downs that way to MJF.
That's before. Great. No, I see you weren't even paying attention. You're so ready to jump on me. You didn't hear what I said. I liked actually like the put downs. The segment made sense structurally. Just
you
didn't
said you liked the one put down.
Yeah, that's a put down, is it not? I'm just saying, man. It wasn't great for me, but I understand if people liked it.
George, MJF is the guy, obviously. Mm-hmm. I've said for a very long time, Daniel Garcia will be the guy someday. I thought he knocked this promo out of the park. He felt believable. He had great lines. I think he stood toe-to-toe with one of the best. I think he's the guy. He's going to be the guy someday. Am I right, or is that poppycock?
Jack Farmer, you stole the words right out of my mouth.
I'm feeling like a sea witch talking to a little mermaid right
but,
now.
But also, like, that's yeah, because I thought the same thing. I'm like, this is Daniel Garcia's probably best performance on the mic. He's not coming out there focusing on dancing. He's not coming out there. You know, he knows what's at stake. He knows who's across the ring, in this case, across the arena. And yeah, I think he knocked that out of the park. And I like the little innuendos, too, because there's a lot of rumors out there in regards to Daniel Garcia and his future with AEW. So I kind of like that ending with MJF kind of saying, like, you got to do blah, blah with the paradise. I'm like, I'm going to send you to paradise. Is he implying WWE? Is he implying a future in the AEW? So, yeah, it really got me pumped for this All Out match coming up on Saturday. And Yeah, I thought it was great, regardless of what Flobo says.
I don't understand the hate, guys. Are we on the show to talk about things we like and not like about AEW programming? It was a fine structured segment. It just didn't hit it for me.
Well, you're wrong.
Look, you are wrong.
You loved it.
Listen. It was part. Hey, you know, it's a perfect example. It's like when you go to a restaurant and your friends love it, and you go, it was okay. It's like, what, are you crazy? Like,
what restaurant? Right. What restaurant?
Raising Cane's.
I've never been.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah. See, everyone's like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. It's
yeah.
Crazy.
I do, although I do think Chick-fil-A is overrated.
Ooh.
Here's the thing. I take Chick-fil-A's sauce is what does it. I mean, the rest of it.
Yeah.
I could go anywhere, but it's that's the sauce. Raising Cane's. I'll stand by you, shoulder to shoulder, my shield for yours against the Raising Cane's.
The rabid fan base. Yeah.
In any case, let us know what you guys thought about
Raising Cane's. Anyway,
I've never been there. I can't. I have no comment because I've never been there.
You gotta go to
see. It's mediocre food with a big fat piece of bread. That's what it is.
All the seasonings in the skin, bro. That's it.
That's like the Popeye chicken sandwich. Overrated.
Ooh, yeah. Hot takes all around.
But they have spicy as well, so maybe it's a spicy take.
Chicken sandwiches, by their nature, are a B+ at tops.
I get you. Yeah, I'm with that.
So let's know what you guys think of Daniel Garcia and MJF. We'll have our predictions that one in a little bit. But for now, Okada faces Fletcher. Continental Championship matchup. Very competitive matchup. Ends with the ref getting turned around and Okada hitting a low blow, allowing Okada to get the win. George, Okada had to work for this one.
Yeah, he did. I thought this match was great, but that's not why I hated it.
Uh-oh.
Here comes a rant.
He hates things now.
You're great. Yeah, I did. Because
I want to give you time to voice how you feel about your hate.
I was going to say, because what I dislike actually makes sense, Flobo.
Wait a minute. Hey, he gets time? Fine.
What did Kyle Fletcher do last week on Dynamite?
Wrestle.
Against who?
Ricochet.
Did he win or did he lose?
I think he lost.
So why are we giving him a title match against Okada? I said it last week and I say it again. What are we doing with Kyle Fletcher? Like, he's in there getting title shots. He's getting these big time matches up. Where is Ricochet to begin with? But like, what are we doing here with Kyle Fletcher? That guy, and I said it last week and I'll say it again, he is a kayfabe loser. He keeps losing all these big matches. Oh, great. He beat Ishii on Saturday. Great. What did he do against all his other matches? Oh, yeah. He lost. This was a great match. With that said, I love the finish. I love the Okada. At the end of the day, he's still a heel. But I despise at the fact that we keep seeing this with Kyle Fletcher. You know, I'm doing a lot of like SummerSlam rewatches, right? Kind of trying to do something big, but like, you know, on the early days of SummerSlam, we would see like Coco Beware versus the Big Boss Man. We would see the Red Rooster versus Mr. Perfect. Yeah. On like Superstars of Wrestling Challenge, Coco Beware would win. Right. So he's not a jobber, but on these big time matches, he ain't beating Big Boss Man. Red Rooster ain't beating Mr. Perfect. Kyle Fletcher to me is equivalent to Coco Beware, Red Rooster. Where they're going to win all the matches that he needs to win. By the way, I don't know why I just thought of two birds. But he's going to win all the matches that he needs to win. But yeah, with these big-time matches, like, what are we doing? Why are we giving him title matches when he just lost last week against Ricochet?
Can I ask you a question, George? Honest question. Who is the number two contender for the Continental Championship?
Why is this even a question?
Because
we all know the championship means absolutely nothing.
So why are you crabby? It's of all the title championship rankings, that one is almost a novelty belt.
So who are we supposed to get title shots to then?
Even more so than the NJPW championship. So to me, I totally took this match as Okada saying, beat me, you win this. Not necessarily you get to be champion. So I'm fine with.
And then you had him against Cesaro like a week ago, and there's no follow Cesaro, or 2 weeks that? Ago. So the bald guy. You guys have the same haircut. But like he went to a time limit draw with Okada, and there's no follow-up. There's no like, hey, I was this close to winning. Now I want to try again. Nothing like that. It's just like, oh, yeah, let's just forget about that. Oh, we're going to have Kyle Fletcher lose last week, and now we're going to have him in a title match this week. Like, at least have some kind of something, some kind of consistency when it comes to who these title contenders are.
But that means all you would ever have is number one contenders matches and title matches. Now, I know the argument of they have too many titles is a dead horse that's been beaten. So we don't need to talk about that all over again. But it is pretty much viewed as the lowest title on the totem pole. I don't think you need to necessarily do a lot to earn that opportunity. And as far as Kyle Fletcher go, you mentioned him losing. He's in there with all great wrestlers every single time. He's 25 years old. Daniel Bryan, when he debuted in WWE, was 28. He's still younger than Daniel Bryan was. And John Cena's first year, he lost more than he won. You know, Mark Henry had a losing record for like 4 years in a row before eventually going on to be the world champion. It's okay to have losing records. It's okay to lose matches, especially when you're against the top guys in the company continually. I don't think the losses matter. I don't think with a championship like the Continental Championship, no one cares.
So he loses against Ricochet last week and gets a title match this week, but now we have all these qualifying matches to qualify for the four-way at All Out.
Sure.
I just don't like the consistency.
Again, my point is with the Continental Championship, because I was telling this to Jack while it was happening, that is the most ugliest looking belt they've ever done. It looks cheap. And I really think it's more of a prize that Okada has himself. So it's me going Okada being like, who do I want to fight this week? I know a guy who lost last week. If you beat me, you get this. There's no sanctioned lane. There's no prize money with that championship because it hasn't been established. Like, I don't understand the problem.
The title in itself, again, I don't want to keep we could have the too many titles conversation every single week, and it's one that seems to crop up every week. So I try not to bring it up because I feel like it's just, we all agree, too many titles. But they've never presented the Continental Championship as one that's hard to get a title shot to or that really matters. So I don't really see it. If it was the world title, I'd be like, yeah, that's kind of weird. But, you know, it's not. It's a title that I think if they took the Continental Championship off TV and didn't say anything, no one would notice. So I can't get mad that a random person got a title shot either.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Let's talk about Jamie Hayter.
So what's Flobo? I mean, I don't know what Flobo's overall thoughts without before.
I mean, both men need something. I think Okada needs something more than just coming out with that, some kind of backstage promo in a match. And Kyle Fletcher does need more as far as like to buy into like whether or not is like his presentation. But the match itself was fine. My notes were me just totally saying Rick Knox always seems to be the guy who doesn't see things happen. He should be written up. But after your rant, I will not go into that.
Although I do like the tease of Okada versus Takeshita, because that match is going to be a banger when that happens.
The Rick Knox, bless his heart, does look like the guy that would miss a lot of stuff.
Nice guy. Very nice guy.
He is.
But like if you looked at all the referees on the roster and you had to guess which one of them probably misses a lot of
that guy. Excellent. Rick Knox is my referee tonight.
I bet it's Rick Knox is the one that has his back turned a lot. Carlos says, I'll keep my faith in Kyle because of you, Jack. Thank you. Aww. You should. Jamie Hayter and Robin Renegade have a matchup tonight. Basically, Renegade puts up a fight, but it's more or less a homecoming party for Jamie Hayter getting a strong win here. Flobo, dominant win. Jamie Hayter, the right call.
It was, even though I think Robin Renegade deserves better. I thought she showed herself well. I think she should have more opportunities on camera. But ultimately, yeah, Jamie Hayter needs to get heated up. Didn't want to make a pun there because she's on a roll since returning from All In.
There's probably not a whole lot of stuff to break down from this. Other than Jamie Hayter is really one of the most popular people on the women's roster, which is crazy considering she's been off TV for so long with injury. Very good sign for her. George, if I gave you the pin, what do you do with her next? I mean, clearly Britt Baker is someone that makes sense. TBS Championship, World Championship. All of those people, though, are people who feel like they can't really lose anytime soon. And I don't think we want to see Jamie Hayter taking the L right away. So what do you do?
Well, it does look like they're still building up for maybe her against Saraya. They showed him backstage after the match. So I don't think it's going to happen in All Out. But I'm maybe I'm guessing they're going to set it up for the Grand Slam show, or was that what it's called? Grand Slam.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like that. There's a lot. It seems like there's a lot of unfinished business with them too. So yeah, I think that'll be a good match when we end up seeing Jamie Hayter against Soraya.
Flobo, you're a good at breaking down characters and things. Can you quantify what it is about Jamie Hayter people love? I mean, she's great. Like, she's a good wrestler. Guys, you know, all this stuff you're looking for, but like, there's a lot of people who have all the stuff you're looking for. Do you know what it is about Jamie Hayter that makes people just gravitate towards her?
She's almost, and I don't want to compare skill set wise, but almost like a Will Ospreay, not because they're both English, but rather this very every person character that people latched onto earlier and they're kind of going into. Is this the indie band that made their song on the radio? I mean, Britt Baker is kind of that way, but she was always like kind of like the star in the first phase of the women's division, so with the Karushita. But Jamie Hayter was definitely like the thinking man's wrestler, the cult favorite that became a superstar. And then where the wave was at its peak, she went out with injury, so she's now on this Goodwill return tour, which is a very small window to see what her next chapter is going to be. But that's why everyone wants to see her do well.
John Moxley and Marina Shafir show up. They beat up more security on the way in. Mox tells Jack Perry that he's a sweet kid. Moxley gets in the ring and talks about how great Darby Allin is and says he just wants to talk. Flobo, what's happening here? What are we looking for?
Here's what I like. I like John Moxley in his new chapter. I like the fact that he's getting away from the BCC. I like Marina Shafir in a whole new role because people hate on Marina Shafir for a long time. I'm a fan of the problem. What I don't like is that you have so much good talent in AEW, 200 bodies and counting, and everyone only wants to dance with Darby. Is he the most prettiest girl at the ball? Like, this guy is—he's kind of cute. He's a Jesus Revo. But what I'm saying is, everyone wants to pick a fight with this guy, and I understand because he's kind of a nut job. But John Moxley, there's many different ways to unleash havoc than going after Darby.
Yeah, I love this group. I kind of love the mystery of what are they doing, what are they talking about, and I even love that it doesn't seem like there's issues with the Elite between them yet, which makes me wonder, well, what are their plans? What is going on here? But yeah, it feels like this feels like a recruiting thing that's going to go wrong. Like, he's going to want Darby Allin to join him in some way, and Darby's going to say no. And I feel like that's kind of a redo of the Blackpool Combat Club in some ways. So I hope it's different than that, but we'll have to see. George, what are your thoughts? Do you love this? Do you like that Moxie's wearing white shirts now?
I'm liking it for now. Like you said, I like the mystery aspect because it's been 2 weeks now where I'm just like, what the hell is he talking about? Like, why does he want to talk to Darby? So I like that mystery. And I thought it was a little interesting when he went up to Jack Perry because Jack Perry is facing Bryan Danielson this upcoming Saturday. And it kind of made sense on maybe why Moxley didn't come out maybe to save the BCC at the end of the show or toward the end of the show. So I feel like there's a lot of like questions that need to be answered, but I like that they're not just giving us all the answers right now. I like that it looks like it's going to drag on. We're not going to force Moxley into a match this Saturday just because there's a match or just because there's a pay-per-view. So I like that there's this kind of slow burn when it comes to whatever we're seeing with Moxley.
We got a comment from Manny Ken. This is a different kind of pivot here, but Jack, I'm so happy you're here. We don't need to read the question. No, Manny asks, where is Ricochet? Now, Flobo, I'll send this to you, but I got a feeling that basically they said, look, we got 2 weeks to build up this pay-per-view and Ricochet is not going to be on it, so we just don't have time for him this week.
Personally, I mean, a lot of things going on. We'll get to a lot of the bigger things today, and it's not a big problem if you don't see Ricochet for a week.
Yeah. George, do you agree, or do you think they should have found a way to get Ricochet on?
I mean, I did question myself during the show. I'm like, man, did they forget that Ricochet's on the roster? But they got another hour on Friday, or they got 3 hours on Friday, actually. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see him on Collision. But like you said, there's a pay-per-view they need to build. They're building for towards Saturday. There's no need to kind of put him in a spot where it's not going to mean anything in the long run. Just wait till next week.
A lot of speculation about Mox and the BCC, with Beer Money saying, did they not explain why Mox isn't BBC anymore? Why not have a quick segment? Well, I think that's part of the story, mm-hmm. is what's going on BBC. With him. What's so funny?
Ooh. Come on, everybody.
Are you laughing at the news network? The
Yeah, they totally. That's what it is. Yep. The BBC. Yep.
We, so Jay Willie, pause. Hey, to be fair,
we're 12 years old, guys. We're not, you're right.
I like that Blue Chew saying, you know, it's obviously the British Broadcast Corporation, obviously, yeah. Blue Chew.
Absolutely.
So we have a couple of segments here, that some promos we'll just kind of run through. The Learning Tree says that they're gonna have a match with Brian Keith and Orange Cassidy on Collision. Roderick Strong says he wants his rematch with Hook, and Deonna Purrazzo has some words as well. George, any takeaways from these promos?
Whenever there's a Learning Tree segment, there is always a takeaway. And the takeaway is Brian Keith is so, like, you better pay him his $7,000. But even, like, you know, him talking his smack to Orange, and then Orange just kind of popping up, like, oh, hey, oh, yeah, that's fine. You know, and then, like, I'll give you your $7,000. What I would have loved, and I think this would have been so brilliant, is, you know, Orange Cassidy walks away, and then Brian Keith is like, oh, I'm going to be, you know, this Friday on Rampage or Collision, I'm going to, and just Orange Cassidy just coming back like, all right, whatever. And he just walks back out of the frame. I think that would have been great. But just, yeah, you know, it wasn't much, but I dug it. I'm actually going to give the Learning Tree and that segment its props. They didn't have to take up TV time out inside the ring. You know, they kind of kept it short and sweet in the back. I think you still need to keep Hook away from a microphone, and then yeah, Deonna. Wow. I like the way they are rebuilding Deonna.
Flobo, do you agree with George across the board?
More or less. I think it's a spicy take.
You better agree with me.
See, Brian Keith is so cool, man. Because you asked me that, I was like, at the time when I was like, oh man, Jericho's lame, but Brian Keith is just amazing. Just this outlaw who's more like a guy who, like, polices manners. It's the most adorable thing. I liked it. I like the fact that they're having the match again. It's kind of weird that the jacket was kind of one of the weakest angles of that story, and they're bringing that part back. Like, I really want my jacket money 3 years later without interest. It's also kind of weird. But yeah, look, we're going into All Out. We get the filler matches done, and it's a reason to tune in if you're to see that fun stuff. So I'm fine with it.
Do you think, Flobo, to double back on the jacket thing, do you think it's cool when companies go back that far to bring back history, or is it kind of like, man, that was 4 years ago. Like, we don't care.
I think it does reward long-term fans, so it's fine. It's on the B show, but, like, if that was going to be like an all-out match, like, remember 4 years ago, my jacket? I'm like, bro, like, come on, get over it.
Yeah. Was it Jericho and Kane that had the coffee spill that they got in had a match with? Yeah, be like, remember 4 years ago, you spilled coffee on me? Ah.
Yeah. Like, okay, so to when Kofi became champion, they brought back the Randy Orton thing. Like, that was kind of fun because it was like, oh, yeah, you're watching that.
That was stupid.
Stupid.
That was stupid.
But yeah, a jacket seems very like, hey, you're Jericho, man. You wear different jackets every week. Why do you care?
Because it was $7,000.
He was also the Further World Champion for how many days?
And you get that championship money. Speaking of champions, the glamour, Mariah May, defended the women's championship against Nyla Rose. Flobo, which is a disrespectful reaction now.
Disrespectful? Disrespectful?
You left the screen.
This is not disrespectful.
You went off the frame.
And this time it wasn't Chrome's fault.
It wasn't Chrome's fault. I have too much respect. This is why I'm upset. But continue.
Different kind of match for Mariah May than we've seen before. She's outsized here. Mariah May does eventually get the win. George, before Flobo throws a giant wet towel all over our party, tell me what you thought about this one.
I thought it was great. I was really impressed by Mariah May and her character. She's not like the chicken heel. She's literally she's like a heel that nobody likes because of what she did to Toni Storm, but she totally fits it. Like, she totally fits as being the world champion. And, like, she's coming at Nyla Rose, giving her a couple smacks, saying, like, I don't care how big you are, I'm not afraid of you. But I really like this presentation of this no fear type attitude that she has. And she got the victory, and I think she looked 1,000% great.
What I loved about this from Mariah May's standpoint is I love the evolution of the storytelling in the match. How Mariah May started off with the slaps. I love how she tried to trip Nyla Rose, but Nyla Rose is too big, and it was kind of silly. And then it got more serious as it went on. And Mariah May is great. She's a star. She's going to do very, very, very well for herself. I think she's going to be one of the top stars going very soon. If she's not already, it was in AEW. She's getting there already, but I'm talking worldwide. I think she's even her media appearances. She's awesome. Flobo, this one I thought was a fantastic first defense for the champion. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong for so many different levels. Mariah May cut her teeth on turning on Toni Storm. So this defense, more than any other defense she has, was supposed to give us a look at who she was. And unfortunately, she goes against Nyla Rose, which I love Nyla. You have a women's division that has been very embattled for years and has only been one or two constants with the entire time. Nyla Rose is literally a beast, a monster in that division, and her win-loss record is kind of sadly beatable. I've not seen a monster this beatable since Braun Strowman. What they've done to Nyla Rose is just another dissertation waiting to happen. This should have been a test for a first-time champion. This should have been a test. Can you slay someone who was a second-ever women's champion? But we have no faith in Nyla Rose to AEW's credit because or discredit because they never presented her as a threat. And because of that, when Mariah May struggled against Nyla, I go, is she supposed to be dominant? Is she a star? This is right here is the problem I have. Because it should have been, oh my gosh, can Mariah May do this? Or if she's going to get a win over her by doing something scandalous, it should be scandalous, but she just beat her straight up. No one looks better for it. Nobody looks better for it.
Isn't it more impressive that she beat the second ever women's champion?
It's the way it was done. Because you had a talent that could have been a star, could have been seen as that beast still, but that aura is long gone. And then Mariah still had to struggle to beat her. Nobody looks stronger for it. Nobody.
I agree with you on the Nyla Rose could be a bigger star in AEW. I agree with that completely. But beating people just because of their win-loss record, like Kane for years, famously, never won the big one. And he was always treated as a monster when he was introduced or came out.
Okay.
There's always those characters in wrestling.
So Mariah May is a snake, but then today she's going to be the underdog because against a beast that's already beatable. That's like, what am I supposed to believe the kind of heel Mariah May is?
It's not just in a box. You have to be this one or that one.
So how can I say it's a fantastic match if I don't know what the stakes are, or who to root for? If I'm not invested into either person in the ring, despite the championship is there, because I don't know the motivation besides the title, then who is actually coming out the winner here?
Mariah May is the motivation. She's the star that just became the women's champion. That's the motivation.
Those are the stakes. She won the championship belt. She's defending it. We already agreed on that. But what I'm saying is how she turned over Toni Storm should have her be a certain kind of character way. We saw the opposite. And she's going against a character which has been so beaten down, we can't even infer who Mariah May is because Nyla Rose has been so beatable over the past two or three years.
She's a defiant star is what she is.
A defiant star. What does that even mean?
Yes, she's someone who is defiant against anyone who wants to say she's not a star, who wants to try to dim her light. And she is that still similar to Toni Storm, that TV quality star. You saw the way she was laying in the ring at the end, like an old time Hollywood player. That's what she is. Now, Nyla Rose, I'll give it to you. Yeah, she's kind of a heavy that gets brought in to have matches, but that's what Mariah May is. If you're not invested in Mariah May, I can't answer for that.
It's not even that me being invested. I'm saying going to this match.
You said you weren't invested.
I'm saying not invested in me long-term. I'm not saying I'm giving up on Mariah May. I'm saying specifically she had a character or she has some personality traits with Toni Storm that got dropped tonight, and it felt like a different person in that ring. You're saying, don't worry about it.
She doesn't need to be that person.
Thing that was dropped, Flobo? What exactly are you talking? Because you're referring to this thing that was dropped, but she seems the exact same as she was when she won.
You're telling me that when she beat Toni Storm, she did it because she found a way to be loved by Toni Storm, and she manipulated Toni to trusting her, right? And then she found a way to, I don't know, use the heel tactics or whatever to become champion. Is that true or not? True or not?
She manipulated Toni Storm.
She manipulated Toni Storm and became champion. Is that true or not?
She beat her straight up. She beat her in a match. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm thinking,
she slapped her mother.
Yeah, she did. This person's a snake. this person is conniving, right? She has a match against somebody who is basically a tomato can, which is another issue altogether.
But she's not a tomato can. Already the premise is flawed.
But hold on. But again, she wasn't.
It's a flawed premise. She's not a tomato can.
But hold on. It is because she hasn't had a win-loss record in the positive for years. So we have a match, and now this person who's supposed to be a heavy is now dominating Mariah May. She comes from underneath. So to me, if I was all about the conniving aspects of Mariah May, it didn't show up tonight.
She didn't need to be. She's champion now. She's going to do whatever she needs to be to become champion. Now that she's champion, been there, done that. Now I can do whatever. Like
I
said, you know?
I was fine with it, but you're asking follow-up questions. This Carlos is saying it's not that deep. I know it's not that deep, but Jack kept asking
wrestling
follow-up questions.
Wrestling has always had the heavies that don't necessarily have a great win-loss record, but visually can help tell that story. That's very common in pro wrestling for years.
Well, I've been schooled. We got to run.
That's a...
we gotta run. I think you're making no sense, but we gotta go.
Everyone in the chat, let us know your thoughts, because I don't get where Flobo's coming from here. Mm-hmm. But Fernando's asking, how is Nyla tomato can?
Because she has not won. Here's somebody who can physically dominate that women's division, and she should have. And here's somebody has been trotted out every couple times, and her win-loss record to belies her skill. She has carried that division for longer than anyone will give her credit for. But then in this matchup, where we presented that, okay, maybe Mariah may have some kind of challenge, she pumps from underneath as if she's a babyface. And she's a babyface acting as a heel, acting as a baby.
Well, she did connive on the outside, grabbing the ref's leg.
Okay, well, there you go, man. We're at the top. Better roll.
I do get your point, because I do think it's going to be a while before we see Nyla Rose again.
Yeah, and then she's going to be gone again. And then this whole thing wouldn't matter.
I agree. I agree with that part. I agree we need to see Nyla Rose more. That was something we all agreed on.
She deserves better. Nyla deserves better. Mariah May needs some more consistency in her character, I believe. But
she is the Brian Cage of the women's division.
I don't get it, man. This is someone that deserves better. No one looked better after this matchup going into
what
it.
What a was great comparison. Point. What a great comparison.
I think Mariah May looked better.
I disagree. Oh. She does not. She does not look any more of a champion now than she did before.
She got one win. I mean, I don't know what you're expecting.
It was the first defense. It should matter, but it didn't.
The first defense rarely ever matters.
I'm trying to move on, bro.
You say that, and then you throw in a little one-liner.
No, because you bring up comments, and I have to answer them. Obviously, they're the people. But I'm saying I'm over this. this is great.
In any case, everyone in the chat, everyone in the comments, let us know what you thought about the Mariah May Nyla Rose matchup. CEO Mercedes.
All I'm saying is that Mariah May. No,
Mercedes Monet and Camille come out, and Mercedes says that you can't be the ace if you ain't the face. Sheeta has a video response along with Christopher Daniels to say that Camille is banned from ringside for their matchup. George, any real takeaways on this? Camille is gone. Did you like this? Did you like this promo?
Nope. I didn't dislike it, but I just feel like this was one of those promos where they didn't need to kill all this time with the entrances and the video. They could have just done this easily backstage. They could have had just maybe like a face-to-face, and then Daniel's coming in and saying, hey, Camille's banned, and then that's it. I feel like this maybe went a little too long.
Yeah, Flobo, it feels to me the removing of Camille is their way of trying to say now Sheeta has a chance because Camille's not on the outside. But I also feel like Camille is what makes this match interesting, and I still don't believe Hikaru Shida is going to win this matchup. So
I also don't believe Camille's going to be banned. She's going to show up anyway. My honest opinion.
But then she'll get fined.
Okay, she's the CEO. That's the one person who doesn't matter that she can almost dance. I almost danced. But
you got to do the Nana.
Oh, yeah, do the Nana. That's the easy one.
I'm fine. I don't dance.
But you got to do that over the head part.
I'm cool.
I'm in that.
Hikaru Shida is one also like Nyla Rose. I really, really believe should be getting Dynamite wins often. And I'm bummed out that she's kind of in a similar spot to Nyla Rose in many ways. Not sure there's much to take away from this outside of that. Jack Perry cuts a promo on Bryan Danielson where he talks about how Bryan Danielson could have helped him but never did. Then the Elite say they will do anything to get the title back in the Elite. The conglomeration earlier in the night had a promo with Mark Briscoe going nuts like he always does. This has a six-man tag match, Ospreay, Cassidy, O'Reilly versus Claudio, Wheeler, and Pac. Story here is Pac and Ospreay still have issues. Pac, Claudio, and Wheeler get the dub and celebrate. After the match, Blackpool Combat Club get attacked by the Elite, eventually get chased off. Claudio and Wheeler challenge the Bucks for the tag team championships. I went into this show thinking, it's only going to be six matches on All Out, and suddenly it's eight. Flobo, a lot of stuff here. I'd love your thoughts on the conglomeration, on the Elite, all this stuff with Jack Perry. Take your pick. It's a cornucopia of things you could jump off from.
Elite and Jack Perry are in a holding pattern, so I'm on a holding pattern with them. They're supposed to be evil, but they haven't really done anything evil-ish for a while. The conglomeration, every promotion needs one hype group. You know what I mean? Whether it's Hank and Take Ledger, I'm Mark Briscoe, I'm going to have a good old time. I love it. It's fine. It's great. Six-man tag. I like Pac. I like the former BCC. I'm not sure if they're still the BCC or not. But those people look strong, and I think that they should do more work together later on. If there's a formal changing of the guard from Mox to Pac, I'll take that as well.
George, we saw the brainbuster on the outside by Pac to Will Ospreay. We also saw, of course, we're going to get a tag team championship match. This one was a fun one, but any real heavy takeaways from it all?
Yeah, just a fun match. I mean, Mark Briscoe is a national treasure. Protect him at all costs forever and ever. With that said, it's funny, like, because I was thinking when Mariah May was out there, I was thinking, like, I like that they're not rushing a women's championship match for the pay-per-view, but then we see a tag team championship match just kind of get thrown together just for the sake of it being on the pay-per-view. So I didn't like that aspect of it. Like, I feel like it didn't need to be there. That's easily like a Dynamite match or something like that. Like, I get it. You want the Young Bucks on every pay-per-view, but, you know, I feel like it just, that was one takeaway. But overall, I thought it was a fun match. At first, I thought it was like a little random to have this tag team match, the six man to close out the show, or to have the last match of the show. But, you know, it's we've seen it all the time where you have like two kind of teams that are kind of headed by Pac, headed by Ospreay. They're on the collision course for All Out. So I thought I like that little preview of what we're going to see there. But yeah, I mean, overall, it was a fun match. You know, you had the big thing at the end, and, you know, the Elite, they're going to be Elite, and, you know, just looking forward to the pay-per-view.
The Elite are going to Elite. That's what they do. Yeah, I thought it was cool. I don't think there's really much more.
The match was fun.
I think the only real thoughts I can give are basically just reiterating what happened. Like, and this happened.
If anything, the takeaway, just because it was a little predictable, was like, okay, well, now I know that this match is happening now, which means they're going to close out the show with the big segment. And then I think we all kind of saw the foreshadowing of the last segment when we saw the Twitter video about Swerve in the house.
Oh, shadows were cast for sure. I mean, Swerve Strickland and Hangman Adam Page, contract signing. Does this still count as a contract signing, by the way?
Yeah, good point. He didn't sign it. No match, guys.
When we talk about great contract signings, can I say this was a contract signing?
Yeah. Or does I would say so. Count?
Yeah, I mean, he just said it. I mean, we all, because Hangman, I like that Hangman said it. He said, we all know this match is going to happen, just a formality, so let's just, like, who cares, right?
Let's talk about it. So earlier in the night, as you mentioned, Swerve said he bought his childhood home, which is the most Tacoma-looking house I've ever seen. I don't even know if it's actually, I don't know if that place is actually
not anymore
where it was. But,
well, yeah, he never said it. He never said where.
So when it's time for the contract signing, Paige isn't there. Paige is in the same childhood home, and Paige talks about the childhood Swerve must have had. Paige said that the match is happening, but there's nothing more that Paige wants in life than to burn Swerve's world to the ground. Then he lights the house on fire and explodes. I loved this. Me as a chaotic wrestling fan, this guy walks through and literally burns down a house. I mean, this is the kind of destruction of personal property even Stone Cold Steve Austin has to swoon over. This was incredible. George, you were talking a little bit about it. I want you to finish your thoughts. Talk about a go-home segment.
This was absolutely incredible. Like just everything about it. Once we saw Hangman not come out for the contract signing in the ring, we all knew what was going to happen. I think we all were questioning maybe to what extent was he just going to have a sledgehammer. And I like that he didn't really say what was happening until we saw that, you know, the gas can at the end. But this was just great. This is what I mean as far as like stories does matter. This is probably going to go down as the best feud in the history of AEW. But yeah, this was just great. Like everything about it. I love Swerve's reaction. And it kind of like the fact that even like it looked like he was going to leave the ring, but it's like, where are you going to go? Like you're not going to make it in time. Like Hangman, just everything about it, like Hangman and his justification behind it. Yeah. This was just a home run by all accounts. Maybe even a grand slam. Like this was just fantastic.
Beer Money says Swerve posted a pic of the fire on X 10 minutes after the segment saying he's dead. Going to X that soon after your house just burned down? ? Love the segment though. Come on.
I do. I've burned down. Like, oh no, my God. What a day.
Yeah, Flobo, this was, first off, I got to give credit to Adam Page because that fire was like right on his arm for a little bit there, but he still held his spot because he knew you don't get a second take, man. You gotta make this one work. I can only imagine the stress of that situation doing that. But Flobo, how did you feel about this? I loved it. I'm gonna
you
fight
know what?
You to say
bad I had one nitpick, but I won't say it. But yeah,
what was other it? Than
I
that, it was
say it. No, because say it. Not, because the whole say it. I don't want to be negative. I don't want to be negative. Everything else was great. It was say one of the best. It's one of the best things of all time. It was good to go home show.
One of.
Boo, he hates it. All right, well, I will tell you this because we're friends here, but I don't want to be the negative guy in the show. But this is supposed to be Swerve's home that he grew up in, and he bought it. And he's watching it crumble, and he's, like, emotional, and it's, like, a very sad thing. And like this giant all-out graphic, it envelopes the screen this Saturday. I'm like, what the hell's going on? I can't see it. It was huge. Like, what? Why?
Tony Khan still has a pay-per-view to promote.
But look, you can tell us that later.
If you were a promoter, you would have done the same thing. You know what you say when you see that house burn down? Ka-ching.
Yeah, it's like a skippable Adam YouTube. Like, what's going on? I can't skip it. Sucked. But other than that, it was great.
That is such a funny. I try to imagine, oh my God, my childhood. You're putting a graphic up right now.
Like, whatever. Anyway, this week in Chicago, like, what the hell?
My Lord,
but it was good otherwise.
That was. I'm glad you shared that nitpick. That's a funny nitpick. Oh my goodness! I did not see that coming. I thought you were gonna say like, how come Swerve is just standing in the ring while this is happening? I was gonna say, well, it's a show. You got to make it look like a show. You got to stay there. But no, you're right. The big graphic. Which I was watching as I guess too much as a fan. Like, yeah, you're selling the show, but then you brought a very good point. Like, I'd be so, if I was Swerve, I'd be like, Tony,
what the hell, man? Anyway, like, he'll be fine.
My house is burning down.
He'll be fine.
It's like Excalibur's like, stay tuned to watch Ready Player One right after this.
My house. Oh my God. So weird.
Oh man, that's so funny. Oh man, I don't even know how to transition.
Well, I'm looking forward to the pay-per-view.
I loved it. I love the show. Let's get into the predictions. I'm gonna confess something. I forgot we're doing predictions, so I went a little long there. Sorry, guys. But we are doing predictions now. Oh God. So we're doing predictions, all out predictions. Everyone keep track. And again, we'll be covering this show on Saturday. Saturday. Me and Emily May, but we're going to do our predictions first. Flobo, you get first prediction. Oh. Continental title. We don't know who the three other people are going to be. And I didn't write down all the contenders. So I'm going to say, this is the prediction. Do you predict Okada or the Fiend?
It has to be Okada. It has to be. If Okada loses that championship, then it doesn't make any sense of him having it in the first place.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't think he's defended it enough at this point. Like, if he loses it, then it's going to feel very like, what was the point of that at all? So I go Okada wins, and we probably get like a Takeshita rematch down the road. George, your thought?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Takeshita against Beast Mortos, and the winner of that moves on, and then Cassidy against Brian Keith. But either way, I do think it's going to be Okada that's going to retain. I know they're going to have the Continental Classic Tournament once again this year, so I think it's going to lead up to that with Okada maybe at some point going to the finals and maybe losing the belt in the finals of that classic.
Oh, yeah, so let's put the title on the line in the classic.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to keep this as a championship.
Wow. Hot take.
I think we can. I mean, all too many titles aside, I think we can just make this like a Royal Rumble. Like, oh, you won that. You're the 2024 Continental Classic champion.
Or give him like a trophy or something, or like a medal.
Yeah, something.
The women's tag medals, one of those.
Danny Cochran, I got to give you a shout out. I forgot to give the disclaimer. Jack's hair and picks are never wrong. There are some asterisks there, but you're right. Never been wrong.
Stop the show to put yourself over. I
can't. I'm not trying. I am. we move on. Tag team championship match. Claudio and Wheeler versus the Young Bucks. I'm going Young Bucks here because Claudio and Wheeler just, what, they're the trios champions and they just randomly got the shot. I don't buy it. I think Young Bucks are winning. George, your thoughts?
Yeah, this, like I said, this is just a match that was just put together just last minute. I don't see the Bucks losing in a match like this that just, you know, we're just like thrown together just randomly.
Yeah, imagine surviving FTR getting put down by Willie Uter. You're probably retired at that point if you're a Young Buck.
You heard it here first. It's going to be a career match, folks.
Whoa!
So next up, we got the CMLL World Women's Championship Chicago Street Fight. Willow Nightingale versus Chris Statlander. George, this is a rivalry that has been going back and forth for a very long time. Who wins this chapter?
Considering that Willow won their first match, Chris won their second match, and Willow won that match at All In, I feel like Chris Statlander is going to win this one and become the new CMLL Women's Champion.
Lobo.
I'm with George, but man, I feel like the story's been going on forever, huh?
I say it's not long enough.
Really?
I just think it needed more TV time.
Fair.
Yeah.
I think, okay, you're right. It is kind of spread over months, but the actual progression has been pretty slow.
I'd like to see more story to it. It feels more like they just keep getting each other's business than story. But that said, I'm going Willow Nightingale. It's a CMLL championship. It's not changing hands on a different show.
Small anyway.
Next up is MJF versus Daniel Garcia. This one is a Bobo, you got this one first. Yeah, MJF versus Daniel Garcia. We had a segment that we all across the board agreed was fantastic to start the show.
Flobo didn't like it. Flobo didn't like it.
We did not.
It's called revisionist history, okay?
Loved it.
Flobo, what did you think?
Traditional old school rule says that Daniel Garcia gets the win. Hopefully he does, because I'm a big MJF hater. So, Daniel Garcia.
I want Daniel Garcia to win also. I know a lot of people are going to get upset that MJF will have lost twice in a row, but I think a Daniel Garcia win here does a lot of good, and MJF can talk himself back to a top spot in a week. George, what do you think?
I think I'd be very upset if MJF loses twice in a row, so I'm going to go with MJF. I think this is going to be one of those matches where even in a loss, Daniel Garcia is going to get over without going over.
We got our Jimmy Corderas of the evening. We got our next matchup. I said I missed Jimmy, but I misspelled it. I messed Jimmy, and George gave me a hard time on the Twitter comments or on the YouTube comments. By the way, we interact with the YouTube comments, so say a few things there. We like to say what's up.
Just for validation. Yep.
AEW TBS Championship match, Mercedes Moné versus Hikaru Shida. This is my pick. I like what Laura Rock says. Jack's hair wins. I agree with that. I think Mercedes wins this one. I think she's going to keep that championship for a very long time, George.
I think Mercedes wins this one. I think she's going to keep the championship for a very long time.
Flobo?
I think Mercedes Moné wins. And guess what? Her character will be consistent under defense to defenses. Imagine that. No.
I rule the world.
No. Imagine that.
Okay. Next, we got the AEW International Championship match, Will Ospreay versus Pac. George, this one goes to you.
I don't see Will Ospreay losing right after he won it 2 weeks ago. So I do feel like this is going to be Ospreay's victory going over Pac.
It's unfortunate for Pac because that guy needs a win. It feels like he's been losing the big ones for a while in his career, but I don't think it happens this weekend. Ospreay retains.
Loses the big ones. He's currently a champion.
That does not count. You know what I mean.
Who's not?
Ospreay has two losses.
Ooh, snap.
Ospreay.
That's about Pac.
Ospreay, I think, is going to win too. Otherwise, it's like every time that championship is defended, it changes hands. So Ospreay is going to keep it for some time. Steel cage match, Swerve Strickland versus Hangman Adam Page. And I am most looking forward to. It's not listed as the main event here. It'll be interesting to see if
it's going to be the main event. I think it's going to be the main event.
I mean, probably.
It has to be.
I'm going with, who's going first on this one? Who went first last time? You did. No, Flobo, you're pointing both directions. I don't know. Let's see. Flobo, Jack, George. Flobo, Jack, George. George, you get this one first.
I think I just went first. Cage match. Considering how much we've seen this, by the way, feud of the year, by the way, I think we're going to see Hangman with the victory on this one. I really think that considering that Hangman hasn't won really any of those matches, we're going to finally see Hangman get some kind of comeuppance in this match. Plus, I feel like if Swerve wins, there's no reason for him to not be next in line for the AEW world title. So I feel like if Hangman wins, it'll give Swerve maybe other things to do as well without going right after the championship.
Flobo, currently split in the chat. What do you think?
Swerve needs a win back, but Hangman needs a win. So I'm going with Hangman Page. Although, not a fan of the fire pants. Lose those.
At first, I was going to say the fire tonight. I was going to say no. Yeah, but you know what's funny? But funny is when he's a good guy, I agree. With old Adam Page, I'd say those fire pants are fire. You keep, but you're right. This version, too much color.
Too much color. Guy Fieri.
Wayne, I see your super chat. I'm going to close out with that one. So just know I see it and I will get to it. But I'm going to end on that one. For now, I think Hangman wins, by the way. I don't know if I said that. Adam Page, I think, wins, because if he loses, man, he's getting skunked by Swerve. And how do you come back from that? Mm-hmm. Swerve, I think, will, again, find a way. He always does. And Adam Page, I think a win here is big for him.
Is there a reason why it's a cage match? Like, they don't need to leave anybody out, right? It just for the sheer brutality of it?
Adam Page ran it down every time Swerve won. It's because Nana or Brian Cage got involved. Okay. So there was a bit of some people got involved. Plus, you know, I get the old wrestling way of thinking, but sometimes a cage match is fun just to have a cage match.
They need to bring back the old school, like the big blue cage.
Yeah, now you can see inside now of those.
Now we're on to something.
I hate fences. You're like, what's going on?
You and your old school way of thinking are absolutely right. Who doesn't like the big blue steel cage? Absolutely.
You know why they got rid of it, right?
Someone got stuck in there once?
Well, because the last time they used it was St. Valentine's Day Massacre with Vince. And Vince was like, man, this cage hurts. Like, well, you guys have to wrestle in this? And then after that, he changed it to the fancy thing.
I heard the ring got a little looser once they started wrestling too.
Yeah.
So I'm like, ow. If it was me, it'd be a trampoline.
Slam ball.
Like slam around and jump in the air. So the main event, this is listed as the main event, AEW World Championship match, Bryan Danielson versus Jack Perry. Flobo, explain to me how Jack Perry ends the American Dragon's career.
He doesn't. Are you kidding me? Jack Perry, as much as he is, I do think he's on a comparable run, but Danielson has to win. He's fighting for AEW. He's fighting for all the fans out there who love pure classic wrestling.
Bryan Danielson wins this one. I think he's going to hold it for a little bit, but I do love the when I lose, the career's over. Like, it just adds so much to this title reign already. George, explain to me how Jack Perry is going to win this one.
So what's going to happen is the Elite's going to interfere, and then BCC is going to fight him off, and then Moxley's going to come in and pretty much turn on Danielson, and therefore we see Jack Perry win by disqualification. Therefore, the title doesn't change.
Oh,
it's not going to be the main event. No, Danielson's going to win.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Disqualification. How often does that happen on pay-per-views?
Hot take.
Rare.
I believe that when we talk about winners and losers and we make predictions, when it comes to title matches, it's who leaves with the title, essentially. So if I say, I always feel like if I say Bryan Danielson's going to win, but then he loses by DQ, I feel like Bryan Danielson still won. He kept the title. I feel like that counts. Like
that is a very big asterisk to get yourself out of a prediction.
I think if he leaves the championship, he's still kind of got his win, I think. Mm-hmm. So
although if they end up if Jack Perry ends up winning and Darby Allin's next in line, we're gonna see Jack versus Darby, and then that's where Darby can beat Jack Perry and get his revenge for the world title.
Well, let's talk about it a little bit. Wayne, who has a great question for us here at the Super Chat. Thank you so much, Wayne. Says, who are the surprises for All Out? I'll go with Omega or Cole. George, you kind of predicted your end there. Do you want to add a surprise maybe that could happen here?
I'm going to predict a surprise that I was absolutely wrong about for All In, but I'm going to carry it over for All Out, and that is Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley, do you want to predict how he shows up, or do you just Bobby Lashley just be there?
I think he'll show up the same way Swerve did that one time, where he just kind of comes out and announces that he signed with the company. Because it's really like there's not really much that he can get involved in, so I feel like just him being there would be a big enough story.
Yeah, Flobo, what about you?
Wait, hold George, with or without MVP?
With.
Ooh, that's fun.
Wouldn't it be great if John Moxley's like, we're the new Blackpool Combat Club and we're unstoppable. And then Bobby Lashley comes in and just wrecks him.
Oh, no. Brings his own podium. I had Adam Cole because Adam Cole still has that receipt, but I wonder if that's going to be used there or not.
What receipt?
Remember the time he was like, oh man, we're back. I don't like you. And then like he got destroyed
by MJF.
Yeah.
That could be how Daniel Garcia gets a win too.
So does Adam Cole come back as a babyface?
I think the return automatically makes you a babyface
again. Yeah. Cause he did that like what, a year ago where he came back as a babyface and then he turned heel when he was a devil.
I think people don't like the devil. I think that's a bigger thing. The devil thing was so out of, I won't say out of character, but out of sorts for him that him being
that's
like,
cause he was hurt.
But the
true,
whole,
but
the
like, whole... why would Adam, sorry, I have to get into this, but why would Adam Cole just ring the bell, baby, becomes, I'll wear a mask, like a Scooby villain. Just feel kind of weird to me. Yeah.
There was a whole phase in AEW where they were doing like the friendship. They were trying stuff new, good for them. I don't think it worked. And I think they've been moving past it. And so I agree.
The friendship was great.
No, it was full
clothesline.
It was fun, but it was also like, I think looking back, probably not the best choice.
Where's Wardlow?
Why do people ask that every week?
Because I don't know where he is.
Next you're gonna be like, where's Matt Morgan? Where's Issa?
Where's Issa? Wardlow is hanging out with Powerhouse Hobbs somewhere.
Issa has an amazing YouTube channel. Check that out. Matt Morgan I wasn't even here when Matt Morgan was here, and I've been here for 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm waiting to get rid of this cursed monkey paw so I can move on and go to the afterlife. That's
would you even get it? Flea market
in Wrestling Inc. Plateau.
There is no plateau.
I was swimming in the Wrestling Inc. fjord and I found it.
Okay, where in the world is this? With a mountain, a desert, a compound, a fjord.
it's a beautiful place.
That sounds like it's awesome.
I think, you know, a lot of people are saying this, but I'm just going to go Shane O'Mac. I think Shane McMahon might make the debut.
Here comes the money.
Oh, I would hate that.
Here comes the money. Why would you hate it?
Well, because you think about what AEW needs, and
they need a McMahon.
Does not fit any of those boxes. If Shane McMahon's part of the company backstage and he's doing his thing, great. But him coming out and doing the, like, what's he going to do? Like, become GM? What's he going to do on camera? He's going to have a stable? Like, I don't see how that could be a agreement.
I think if he somehow, I don't know.
See? It's like, it's a cool idea, but I don't know.
Here's the thing. Because every time I think about something like what he could do. It'd be a heel thing, a bad guy thing. And I would want, and it'd have to be the biggest bad guy thing in the company if it was Shane McMahon. But anytime I think about the biggest bad guy thing in the company, I think that should be Christian. Everything, oh, yeah. Any big idea that is for a bad guy, I think that should be Christian. Christian should be the person who, you know, if they're like, oh, well, what if he comes in as a GM role or takes over the company? Christian should take over the company. Mm-hmm. Christian should do all, like, he's so good. He is such a great villain. He is the worst. He should be the guy. He should absolutely be the guy taking over everything.
And to retire Brian Danielson. I know.
I agree. I'm on the same page. Yeah. I think George is on the same page too. I think Christian should be the one that ends Brian Danielson's career and says he's doing it for his kids so they can have a father in their life.
Whoa, that's evil.
But that does it for us. Let's wrap this up.
What a way to end. Well, that does it for us. This Saturday is going to be...
Your no career problem. Is over and your kids will never love you. Saturday! Well, where can we find you online and any overall thoughts of the show?
Show was pretty solid despite my nitpicks. I do think Nala Rose deserves better. You can follow me on that X at Flowable Boys. I have a blog. It's called justthesandwich.com. And every Wednesday, for now, Jack and I get together and talk about NXT on a show called Draped in Gold. Learn more at drapedingold.com.
And George Hermosa, how about yourself?
I thought the show was pretty okay. Obviously, I had my criticisms, but it's not so much about the matches itself. It's more so about just maybe the presentations of some people. I thought Mariah May was fantastic. But with that said, you can follow me at G Hermosa, GHERMOZA. You can follow my YouTube channel, TheWrestlingChatter.com or TheWrestlingChatter on YouTube. And you're going to get some cool, great content coming up very soon. Got some interviews scheduled for later this week. So I'm excited to, can't wait to share that with you guys.
Very cool stuff coming to Wrestling Chatter very soon. George Hermosa, when you say you spell your last name, it almost sounds like a nursery rhyme kind of ending.
H-E-R-M-O-Z-A.
Yeah, it's good. So a lot of good stuff there. I want to shout out to Maria saying, AEW, hire Jack. Well, I would love to get a phone call from old TK. In fact, why don't you just tweet him out and tag me, tag him, tag the world. Say, Jack, I do commentary. I do ring announce. I do it for real. I'm not just some podcaster. But I do it for real. So you can follow me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media, where I'm begging for engagement there too. You can also check me out on the Wrestling Chatter and on Draped in Gold with these two fellas, as well as Wrestling Inc. this Saturday covering All Out. It's going to be a doozy of a show. I loved Dynamite. I love it. People's house is burning down in Tacoma. It just reminds me of home. That does it for us. Make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. And we will see you guys on Friday for the After SmackDown show. End stream.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.